joining us on the line this morning is Marcy Rich. She has put together a book called Looking Back at Elyria, A Midwest City at Mid-Century. Marcy, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. Thank you for inviting me to be on the program. I appreciate the opportunity.
You know, a lot of times we get stories about cities that deal with sort of long-forgotten dirt, you know, horse-pulled streets with dirt. You get to see some of that, or hauntings or things like this. This one takes us back, it says mid-century, so we're talking about 1950s, 1960s? Is that when we're looking at the Elyria?
Yes, that's correct. That I call the 1950s and the 1960s my sweet spot, because I was born in Elyria in 1956 and lived in Elyria most of my life, but my memories are the most vivid from my childhood. And so I decided that I really wanted to tighten the focus on any writing I did about Elyria to specific things that I could remember. And so I think that when you read the book, you'll see most of the chapters begin with a memory of mine, and then they just sort of develop into the memories of others. The people that I interviewed for the book, and there were so many of them, they have wonderful stories to tell and great memories of things that are no longer in Elyria.
When you're putting a book together like this, how much do you know is of memories and then sort of the truth or the facts of certain things? You kind of blend some of that, you know, sometimes things get like a confluence of things or different things that are taking place. What are some of the memories that people were talking about that then you were able to sort of document in the stories?
Well, that's a very good question and a great observation. I would like to address two things in your question. The first is the approach to the book is a combination of memoir, journalism, and historical research. And so I took that approach because it allowed me some leeway to incorporate my own memories, to interview other people, and to do the historical research that was required by the book. There's a lot that I didn't know. For example, the M.B. Johnson School of Nursing. I did quite a lot of research on that, and I also found very useful the digital archives at the Chronicle-Telegram. I really need to give a shout-out to the Chronicle because they have been incredibly supportive. The staff at the Chronicle has been incredibly supportive of this project. I write a local history series called Look Back Elyria, and that has formed the basis of this book. But I have access to the paper's digital archives as a freelancer. So entering keywords into the digital archives, I'm able to pull up past newspaper articles about, say, the M.B. Johnson School of Nursing or Cascade Park, or, Vietnam, the Vietnam moratorium. I then take the approach where I'll study the article, and if somebody is mentioned in the article, I'll take a chance and see if that person's still around. And, you know, in many cases, I was able to find people. So that's how the interviews came about.
And obviously they're more than willing probably to share stories of they're growing up, things that they remember. What is it? I'm looking at the cover of this, and one of the things on the cover looks like there's a very decorated parade. Elyria loves parades.
Oh, Elyria loves a parade. Absolutely. Yes. Well, the photograph on the front cover, there are two photographs. The one that you're referring to is on the bottom, and that is a float prepared by employees of the Elyria Telephone Company. And that float was in the 1958 Quasquicentennial Parade, celebrating the 125th anniversary of Elyria's incorporation as a city. Elyria was incorporated as a city by Heman Ely in 1833. But there's another date that's significant to Elyria, and that is 1817. That is the year that Heman Ely founded Elyria as a village. And so Elyria, because Elyria loves a parade, Elyria celebrates both of those milestones. And 2 years ago, in 2017, when Elyria was celebrating its 200th birthday, it was celebrating the anniversary of its founding as a village. So this photograph that you see on the cover, and I'm so grateful to the woman who gave me this photograph to use. Her name is Connie Conry Brent, and she lives in North Ridgeville. She was a telephone operator at the Elyria Telephone Company, and she's actually on that float. She's the young woman in the gorgeous tulle dress sitting on the swing. I mean, these floats back in the day were so elaborate. They've got a huge telephone on this float. You can see the time and the effort that went into constructing this. It's just glorious. And, you know, I actually was at that parade. I was in that parade. My father had a Cadillac convertible, and he was sort of the go-to guy whenever anybody needed a fancy convertible car. And I rode in the parade in the front seat with him. I was 2 years old, and in the back seat was Mayor, he wasn't mayor at the time, but it was J. Grant Keyes, and then the governor, William O'Neill. So those are memories that I have largely because of the photographs I have. My father was quite a collector of photographs, and it was an extraordinary collection that he left me.
We were talking today with Marcy Rich. The book is called Looking Back at Elyria, a Midwest City at Mid-Century, looking through sort of different topics that you have with the you profile a dancer named Betty Bishop. Who is Betty Bishop?
Oh, yes, Betty Bishop. I do want to talk about her, but I have to say I think I misspoke a few moments ago. J. Grant Keyes was mayor of Elyria in 1958, and I just wanted to make that correction. Betty Bishop was an extraordinary woman who was born in Elyria. She was a dancer and a dance teacher, and she had a studio downtown Elyria. She taught over the years more than 1,000 young children, boys and girls. And I took her group class when I was probably, I want to guess I was maybe five years old. I can remember I had a blue leotard and a little pink carrying case with a ballerina on it to carry my tap shoes and my dance shoes. But she was a great talent. She was vivid, dramatic. She was, the memories in this chapter are of people who took dance lessons with her. And to a person, if you ask anybody, and Diane Maddox-Fenbers makes this point. If you ask anybody in Elyria about Betty Bishop, their face will light up. She is known for the gifts that she left her students, the gifts of dance, the gifts of confidence. She, of course, as many people will remember, died tragically in the Yankee Clipper disaster, along with her sister. The Yankee Clipper Inn was a hotel near Akron, near Boston Mills, and there was a carbon monoxide leak. And she was there with her sister. They were there to attend an event of the National Association of Dance and Affiliated Artists. And the carbon monoxide gas just wafted through the entire hotel. About 60-some people were hospitalized, and three people perished, one of whom was a young man on his wedding night. But the other two were Betty and her sister, Bud. That was her nickname. Her name was Adelphia. And Bud was a nurse. She attended and graduated from the M.B. Johnson School of Nursing and worked for Dr. McDonald and Dr. Hayes. So it was a very, very tragic story, and it's stunned Elyrians, and it broke the heart of every child who studied with Betty Bishop.
Wow, what a story. Marcy, it certainly seems like you did your research on everything. And when you hear stories like that, I always kind of wonder from authors in a book like this, were there stories that you might not have been able to get in there for whatever reason, or were you able to get everything you wanted in there?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I think for this book, I got everything I wanted. I could have done.
Sure.
Let's put it that way, because there certainly are more stories to be told. Had I more time, had I more pages from my publisher, I would have written about the Cold War, the civil defense. I can remember those yellow and black signs that were posted on the outside of buildings, that was the bomb shelter. You know, those of us who grew up in the 50s and 60s remember that, you know, you would have to duck and take cover if you heard that alarming signal go off. I wish that the piece I'm working on now for the Chronicle about Safety Town, I wish that could have been in the book. Didn't get it written in time. I mean, there's so much you can do, you know. But I think for what I was able to do, I'm very happy with the content of this book. I'm so happy that, you know, there's a chapter on movie theaters downtown Elyria. There's a chapter on Cascade Park. Shopping downtown. Everybody remembers when Elyria had such a vibrant, thriving downtown. You know, the Elyria Public Library, where so many of us learned to love to read and acquired our love of books. And another vivid memory of mine, and that actually is in the chapter that closes the book, is when Senator John F. Kennedy came through Lorraine and Elyria on his campaign swing. And my father had a hardware store on the south side of Elyria. And I can remember he sort of scooped me up, put me on his shoulders, and ran me out the front door because Kennedy's motorcade was going by. And he wanted me to experience that. And the Paradise Restaurant, you know, everybody talks about the pit, the paradise. And I was just a little too young to have enjoyed it during its heyday. But, oh, my goodness, the memories that people have of that restaurant and of Harry Zahar's. And, of course, the corner grocery stores. Everybody remembers where you couldn't throw a stick without hitting a little corner grocery store in Elyria. And my grandparents had one also on the south side of town. So I'm very happy with the content of the book, but I will tell you, it was a lot of work. It was 2.5 years total of my life invested in this book. So
when do you start going through memories, not only yours, but then other people's memories, it gets kind of emotional. I mean, it brings up, you know, good memories, sort of poignant memories, you know, there's always weather-related issues or something, or somebody's small story, but I always find it fascinating that everybody's memory is slightly different, and you can get a bigger picture, fuller picture by talking to people around the same story.
Yes, and that's what I love, you know, because it's not just my story. Everybody who grew up in Elyria has their version of Elyria, has their own unique Elyria stories, and my first observation of this book as it was developing, as it was coming together, was, well, this is sort of like a multi-voiced memoir. And then I was reading something, and I don't know where, and I wish I did because I would love to attribute it. It's such a good phrase. You know how you'll read something on your iPhone, and you just think, oh, that's fantastic, and then you're reading it on the fly, and then, poof, it's gone, and you can't find it. But someone referred to a book as a choral memoir. And I love that. I think that's much more poetic than a multi-voice memoir. So I'm starting to call this a choral memoir because it brings in the voices of so many people and their memories of Elyria as if it's a chorus. So a chorus of history.
Looking back at Elyria is what it's called. Of course, people reading this also probably looking forward in Elyria as well. You mentioned the library. There's a new location on a corner where the library is going to be built. Downtown was not vibrant and went out to the mall. The mall's having issues. Where's the shopping going to? It's interesting, as we broadcast from downtown Elyria, you look out our window and you see buildings that have like 1904 on the top of them, or etched in stone. It's Elyria Savings and Trust. So history is always with us, though even changing times take place. And what's on a corner? If you ask somebody, what was on that corner? 10 different answers come back from people, because depending on what era they are alive or grew up with.
Exactly. They're all right answers,
right.
too. Sure.
It also shows the fluidness of it as well.
Yes.
Something is not always permanent. If people want to get a hold of this book and find out more, or even read some of your columns, where's a good place to do that?
Well, to buy the book, I'm happy to tell you that there are several places in Lorain County where you can find it. The Lorain County Historical Society at the History Center on Washington Avenue, they will be selling copies of the book. In Amherst, you'll be able to find it at Central Bookstore. In Oberlin, at Mindfair Books and the Oberlin College Bookstore. And Barnes & Noble at Crocker Park. As far as the Chronicle articles, subscribe to the Chronicle and you'll be able to read them as soon as I can get them written.
Absolutely. I didn't ask, though, did you put a picture of yourself in, other than the author's picture? Are you in that book somewhere, or pictures of you, or did you?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Marcy Rich as a little girl. My author's photo is me at the age of 2 in my dad's Cadillac in that Elyria parade we talked about earlier, August 1958. So there are several pictures of me as a child in this book. But speaking of pictures, I just have to thank several organizations for allowing me to use the photographs in the book. The Lorain County Historical Society, certainly, the Elyria Public Library, the Chronicle Telegram allowed me access to some of their archives, and the individuals, the people whom I interviewed, were so generous in allowing me to use their photographs. I mean, many of the photos are from my own collection. As I said, my father and my mother saved everything. So you can imagine my joy and horror when I started going through attics and trunks and seeing all that there was to filter through. But people like Connie Conry Brent, who allowed me to use that fantastic photograph on the cover, the Keyes family, the J. Grant Keyes family, who loaned me photographs. There's a great photo on the cover, on the back cover of the Keyes family home when it was on Middle Avenue. And they're watching the parade go by with Jack Kennedy. And, just things like that, the generosity of people who became so enthusiastic about the prospect of this project, the fact that Elyria's story was going to be told at a very specific time. My goodness, Ron Nagy, who allowed me to use photographs that his father had taken of the flood in Cascade Park, and not the 1969 flood either. People might not realize that 10 years before that July 4th flood, there was another flood in Cascade Park. And so there are pictures of that there as well. And the corner grocery store people, those family members, allowed me to use photographs. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience for me. I've come to know so many great people, and I think of them as friends. And many of them came out Friday evening for the book launch party at the Lorain County History Center to celebrate the book. And it was amazing seeing them all in one room. You know, it was as though the book had come to life.
A little travel back in time, I guess, with all the folks that are there. Looking back at Elyria as the book, a Midwest city at mid-century. Great for the folks in Elyria, Lorain County. Anyone in the Midwest probably will enjoy this, because even a picture that takes place in another town looks similar to the picture that you had. If you ever looked at a yearbook from your era in another town, you'd think, I went to school with that kid. What's he doing in that school? So there's a lot of similarities for that. Marcy, we appreciate your time this morning and hope for people to get a chance to pick up the book and also read your column. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Bruce. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Marcy Rich joining us again, looking back at Elyria, Midwest City at the mid-century.